Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
I'm singing praises of Zorn one more time.
Yep.
Every week.
One more time? Is that it?
Well, no. I mean, every Monday.
Once again.
Yeah, I guess yeah, I should have said
that. This is how you tell me I'm fired.
No.
Wouldn't that be a great way?
No.
And one
That'd
last
be awful.
Time.
That would be
here's,
awful.
Here's
how
Eric.
Are you, Eric?
I'm
Everything good?
Nice to see you guys. Well, sort of. My wife's mother lives in Squirrel Hill
in
Pittsburgh. And she's an elderly Jewish woman. She doesn't belong to that congregation.
Yeah. Thankfully.
But, it was that particular act of terrorism really struck closer to home.
What does she say about it?
Yeah, is she afraid now to do anything?
Well,
or?
Yeah, I mean, she's pretty old. So she doesn't get out a whole lot. But yeah, I mean, I think this is sort of her community, people she knows and people who she knows who knows people and so on. And there was no immediate connections to the slaughter. But, boy, it was just a terrible thing.
Awful.
And I gotta say, everyone always accuses me of dragging Donald Trump into issues when I shouldn't be. But I thought his response was, I mean, this is a moment. This is what presidents are supposed to do, right? Is really be a unifying force and get together and cool down the temperature and talk to people. Blast anti-Semitism and bring us all together rather than like go back and start blaming the media and starting right up with your polarizing political rallies. He couldn't even wait a day before he went and did another rally. And when he was asked to reach out to President Obama and all the other people who were targeted by these pipe bombs, he told reporters, I'll pass.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pass on that. And that's, I don't know. I mean, it seems like beating a dead horse in a way to keep talking about how unpresidential he is and how he keeps missing these moments.
You left out the part about him complaining that the rain had ruined his hair.
Yeah. Yeah, he's on his way.
And it's not the rain.
And that was when he was talking about, he was saying that he was going to go to this, Future Farmers of America?
Down south
rally,
here in Illinois, right?
Which was really interesting. First of all, that he was saying that I might cancel this because I had a bad hair day, rather than this terrible tragedy that had hit in Pittsburgh. And, of course, it was interesting. Governor Rauner went down to this rally. Did you see the photos of him?
I didn't, but I know that he wasn't even mentioned.
They sort of put him back in the risers there, and he was wearing one of his motorcycle vests with all the little badges on it and a little blue cap saying Think Blue, I think it was, and it has to do with supporting police, but, of course, blue is also a color associated with Democrats.
Yeah, that's weird.
And it was, he had one of these vests on with all these patches and stickers on it, and given the van that was driven by the alleged pipe bomber with all the stickers on it, it sort of looked like, you look at the picture, it looks like this is the suspect as photographed at a Trump rally shortly before the attacks. It was just sort of a forlorn effort by Rauner in the closing days of his campaign to try to, I don't know what he was doing down at that rally. He's distanced himself from Trump to attract moderate voters, and the conservative base is slipping away. They don't have much enthusiasm for him.
Here's a question. We had Tom Mikaitis on earlier, who's a terrorism expert, and it was a question I wanted to ask him, but we didn't have time. I'll ask you. Both the guys that have been in the news, this would be your the guy who sent the letter bombs and the guy who shot up the synagogue in Pittsburgh, are both disenfranchised citizens, to say the least. And we were talking about, Tom Mikaitis brought up how white men now feel very threatened and everything like that. Here's a question for you. Are you surprised, this will sound awful, but I mean this legitimately, are you surprised that this doesn't happen more often?
Yeah, I am surprised it doesn't happen more often, given the firepower in private hands in this country, and given the level of vitriol that's out there.
Yeah.
And given the sort of rhetoric where you talk about people being the enemies rather than, fellow citizens who disagree with you strongly about policy, that this rhetoric of battle and war has gotten, I think, out of hand.
Yeah.
And, it does surprise me in a way that it doesn't happen more often.
I know it happens way too frequently,
right.
But when it does and you find out the profiles of the people behind it, I always say to myself, there's a lot of people that fit that profile. I'm shocked this doesn't happen more often.
And I don't quite understand why white men are feeling so disenfranchised.
I don't
either,
and I'm getting texts up the wazoo about how, I don't agree with it, but how can you not understand it, Wendy? I don't.
Well, if I can try to simplify it, it's because forever white guys ruled everything. If you went to the head of every company, it was almost always a white guy.
Right.
And now all of a sudden it's not that way.
Well, to me, it's like the persecution complex that Christians in America manage to adopt every year around Christmas time. Like, oh, the war on Christmas and we can't say Merry Christmas anymore. Well, you know, Christians are still something like 85% of the population in this country.
Yeah.
And they have an incredible dominance in Congress and just about every legislative body you can think of. Same with white men, really. I mean, white men are still dominant.
Yep.
And yeah, there are always going to be white men who aren't succeeding and who are going to blame other people for that. But,
right.
when you look at just society in general, are white people being disenfranchised? Is their culture being threatened?
No.
Are they losing ground? I don't think so. I mean, they have been asked to share the stage with other groups,
right.
And to respect them and to allow them into society. So, but to the broader question, yeah, given the temperature of the rhetoric these days, given the inherent violence in a lot of this rhetoric, I am surprised that more of it doesn't break out into actual harm like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing to sort of go and yell at somebody when they're eating at a restaurant. It's another thing to go and shoot up a synagogue or even to mail inert pipe bombs.
Yeah.
To people. So it's and I suspect that it might get worse before it gets better. And I'm not sure what exactly you can do about it, especially now that a lot of the social media traffic on this is going to this site called Gab,
yeah.
I guess, where they just have no filters at all. They don't care what you do, who you threaten, how awful it is, the things that you say. That, you know, the idea that we have social media that it was supposed to bring people together, reconnect people. The old idea of Facebook bringing people together and your old friends and so on. It's turned into this somewhat toxic place. And then you look at a place like Gab, which is even more toxic. It's giving people, I think, encouragement to do this kind of stuff. And I guess, leadership does start. It starts from the top. It really does. And I think that it is up to the president at a time like this to cool the passions, to cool down the rhetoric. And of course, his problem right now is he feels like the hotter the rhetoric is, the better it is for him politically. That he gets his voters fired up. They're worried about these these people who are seeking asylum, who are in this caravan that's down in Mexico. It's still 2 months away, probably, but he's posing this as some sort of national emergency. when in fact, people who seek asylum, immigrants of all sorts, legal and illegal, have lower crime rates than ordinary American citizens. The idea that this is some sort of a big threat to our country, that we have to send the military down to the border,
sure.
Ostensibly to shoot at them as they come and
is that the plan?
I don't know what the plan is. I don't know why you would need so many military. He's thinking of sending troops down there to back up the actual border security. And again, this would be in a couple of months, and it's not clear to me how many. There's supposed to be 7,000 people in this caravan that's supposed to be coming up, but the size of it is shrinking and will continue to shrink because they've got to walk about 2,000 miles.
Right.
And these are families, and a lot of these people are fleeing real problems. These people are fleeing violence. They're fleeing extreme poverty, and they're coming to our borders, and they're asking for asylum, which is a international convention as
right.
to how you do this. And there's a process in place, and it has so far kept this population, relatively peaceful, and so on. So, anyway, it's a bad thing. So you want to talk about Halloween?
Well, yeah, we do. Let's take a break, and then we do Halloween and other holiday related
things. Yes.
That's coming
more
up.
More cheerful things.
Stick around. It's Eric Zorn in with us, Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Go Bears.
It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Eric Zorn, columnist for the Chicago Tribune, co-host of the Mincing Rascals on WGN Plus. Listen in, it's always fun to hear the Mincing Rascals. Eric, you're doing something again. I don't know how many years you've been doing it. It's got to be 20, 25 years.
It's
now, right?
20 years. Mary Schmeek and I, my fellow columnists at the Tribune, we are hosting a holiday sing-along party at the Old Town School of Folk Music, and we've been doing this since 1999. It starts on Wednesday, December 12th, and we have shows that night, Thursday night, Friday night, two shows on Saturday, and then again on Sunday. We tend to sell out the auditorium there, 450-seat auditorium. And what we do, Mary plays piano, and I play fiddle, but it's not our musical talent that brings people there. We recruit this cast of sort of all-star folk musicians from the Old Town School, and they join us on the stage.
Yeah.
And what we do is we hand out song sheets to people, lyric sheets, caroling books, and we run through somewhere close to close to 25 holiday songs. Some of them are real favorites, some of them that everybody knows, mm-hmm. so that you can check that box. And some of the ones that we have found, unearthed through the, looking through the archives. Jasmine, do you have that? Can you play? This is one that what she's going to play here is a little bit of a tune that we adapted for the Christmas season. I wrote some holiday lyrics for it, but you can hear what it sounds like. Everyone's got their song sheets. So can you play a little bit of that?
I'm down for a lonely stable.
You get a sense.
I have goosebumps and would like to participate. This seems so fun.
It would be great. I'd love to have you guys there.
Is that from last year or the upcoming year?
This is a show. This is one from a couple of years ago are reviving this year, because we're going to do the greatest hits of the last 20 years, ones that we've really liked doing. And we have a bunch of like folklorists, people who are always looking for material. So I guarantee you there's going to be a number of songs you've never heard before that are very stirring and wonderful. And they're easy to sing. That sounds a little complicated, but everyone's got their part and you're singing. You're singing in your section and so on.
And it gets people in the holiday spirit.
And it's for charity. The money raised goes to various charitable organizations in town that help the dispossessed and so on.
I would cry if I went, because every time my son had Madrigal concerts at the church, you'd sing carols and I would be so moved.
It is very moving. It's let me do some funny stuff. Mary and I, we co-host it, and There's some very poignant moments.
So if people want more information, where do they go?
Well, so go to theoldtownschool.org and look for the Songs of Good Cheer. Also, I'll get a link to Jasmine. She can put it on the Bill and Wendy Facebook
page. And what day does this take place?
This is December 12th through the 16th.
Oh, perfect. So right in the heart of Christmas season.
And honestly, we do sell out these shows pretty quickly because they become a tradition. People would come, like couples or families, and then they would bring their neighbors, and people would buy tickets in blocks of like 20 now. So
we have this
real tradition going, so it's pretty exciting. So do we have time to do the top Halloween tweets of the year? Speaking of holidays, I think we do. You know, every month I do the best tweets of the month,
mm-hmm.
But I also like to save tweets that are holiday themed. And last
trick
year,
or tweets?
Trick or tweets is very good. Good. That's going to be on next year's.
Feel free.
It's going to be in next year's list.
My gift to you.
I did this, I think, a year ago or 2 years ago, but this is kind of like a Christmas carol where it comes back every year. It's like a tradition.
Yeah.
These are some new ones in this list of the best Halloween tweets of all time.
Oh, of ever.
So these are the 10 best. And there'll be a link on your Facebook page also to a bunch of runner-ups, too, because there's a bunch of other fun ones.
Didn't
quite make the list.
That's all right.
It happens. You know, you have to get in. Some of them that were on the list last year got knocked off.
Oh.
The new ones. Anyway, here we go. The best Halloween costume is Amelia Earhart. All you have to do is not show up to the party.
I'm laughing, Eric, but I know it's still too soon to laugh.
I'm going as Alexa for Halloween this year and answering every question with, "Sorry, I'm having trouble understanding you right now." One time I wore my brother's t-shirt and my dad asked if I was dressing up as his favorite child for Halloween.
Oh, that hurts.
For Halloween, I'm going as an adult who refuses to co-opt a children's holiday as a reason to be a drunken jackass. Number 5, fun fact. If someone is playing Christmas music in October, you're legally allowed to kill them and use their corpse for Halloween display.
Wow.
I know.
That one's sort of dark.
Yeah.
Sort of. I don't care that he's a 4-year-old child. His pirate costume is historically inaccurate garbage, and he needed to be told.
Wow.
I like that one.
That's kind of dark, too.
Mean.
Number 7, this Halloween, I'm going to dress up as me from last Halloween when I dressed up as future me.
Oh.
That's a meta costume there.
Circle of life here.
I'm at that age where I'm no longer a sexy cat for Halloween. I'm a sexy cat lady.
Oh, that is pretty funny.
Like that. Number 9, for your Halloween, I'm going as a guy, not going.
I like that too.
And number 10. After a certain age, the only Halloween costume you feel like wearing is Brian Wilson's bathrobe.
Nice. So, very nice.
Good. And those will be posted also to the Bill and Wendy.
What do you make of this petition? There's a lot of people that don't want to have Halloween on Halloween anymore. What do you make of this?
I think it's moving a lot of places to the weekends. I was down in West Virginia this past weekend visiting my son, and all the Halloween activity was taking place in town on Saturday. All the kids were out trick-or-treating
the weekend before.
The weekend before.
Do you like that or not like that?
I kind of do like it.
Do you? Yeah.
Now, I don't have trick-or-treat age kids anymore, mm-hmm. but it's a problem, I think, for parents, because you want to trick-or-treat when it's light out, for the most part, when you got little kids especially, and it's a school night, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to have the kids come out, be able to start trick-or-treating at, like, you know, 3:30 or 4 o'clock on a weekend night would be really nice.
Well, the hours are usually like 4 to 8 or something anyway.
Yeah. In communities,
yeah. Yeah.
But to have parents, a lot of them have trouble getting home by 4 o'clock
yeah.
in the afternoon.
Right.
And it seems like also if your kids are going to go home and eat a bunch of sugar and so on, that you might want to have that be on a weekend also. What do you guys think? Is that you like the idea?
That's Halloween. Should be on Halloween.
No.
Isn't that strange? I feel the same way. I know the practicality of it is it's better on a Saturday for all the reasons you just mentioned and more. But I think it should
October
be that
31st.
Day.
I got
yeah.
another Halloween question for you if we have a second here.
Sure.
There is a real tradition in this area that I've noticed where parents will take their kids to other neighborhoods.
To the richer areas.
To the richer areas to trick-or-treat.
Right.
I didn't like that at first. I thought, well, this is kind of, you're supposed to walk around and see your neighbors and so on.
Right.
And all these strange kids coming up. I've done a 180 on that in the last, you know.
What happened? How come?
I feel like it's a really nice thing. I mean, I know a lot of kids live in neighborhoods where it's not safe to trick-or-treat.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of people who are handing out candy. And this is an opportunity for them to go. I mean, there's in our neighborhood, you just go house to house to house, and everybody's got candy, and you're giving it out. And it just seems like a nice kind of, it's bigger community spirit. So
of
like,
course.
Okay, fine. Come to our neighborhood. You know, we welcome you. We're not going to be Scrooge-like about this
right.
my holidays. And
but they need to adhere to the village's hours, because we get them coming in too, and I'm fine with it, because I don't want them going to their neighborhoods where they
right.
can't walk around. But if it ends at 8 and they're coming at 9 or 10, I'm done.
There are some neighborhoods where it's just intense. We're you know, just hours and hours of kids coming from other neighborhoods.
Yeah, right.
And again, I just feel like this is sort of a nice thing to say to welcome to our neighborhood. You know, come walk our streets and we'll give you candy and you have a safe Halloween too. I think that's wonderful. Now, my other question is, since we have another second, is how old is too old?
What's the cutoff?
What's the cutoff?
Wendy, your thoughts?
I don't think there's a cutoff.
No,
if you're dressed
she's
up,
planning to go. That's why.
If you're dressed up and you're putting forth an effort. I don't care how
old
you
are. So
you
must have a costume, and then there's no age limit. Interesting. What do you think?
Well, I would say that if you have the older you get, the more the costume has to matter. But I would still say at 15. I mean, I'm really tired of like 15-year-old boys putting on their dad's sport coat. And, well, I'm a grown-up.
That's not a costume.
I know, but you can't not give them candy. But I chafe at that.
Yeah.
But
Sorry to hear that.
Yes. Well, do you
that's
have any
painful.
Talcum powder?
Yes. That's what we give out at Halloween.
Baby
gold bond.
But you know, it really is for kids. I mean, in some ways, I feel like when you get to age 12, that's.
That's about the limit.
About it, yeah.
Yeah. How old were you when you stopped?
I was 12 when I stopped.
12 is?
I remember,
yeah.
So I, you know, because I want everyone's life to replicate my own, I think it should be 12. But it does seem like I see kids, and they're not putting much effort in, and they're also kids who show up late because they're trying to hit as many neighborhoods as possible.
Sure.
Yeah,
they're really trying to make this into a... But the little kids are coming from other neighborhoods, and you just, you know, they got a little plastic pumpkin. It is adorable.
Give them a Snickers.
It's a great holiday for that. So.
Give them some baby gold bond.
Those are my rules.
Eric, thank you so much. Wendy, that's Eric Zorn from the Tribune.
Yes,
he's sitting right over
the
there.
The greatest father who ever was
the
born.
The greatest father in all the land. All right, thanks, Eric. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Doma T. Pongo from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.